Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Weingart, the Associate Director of the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University. Previously worked in New Jersey State Government focusing on environmental and land use issues, and he is the author of the study Another Government Success Story, Citizen Volunteers on New Jersey State Boards and Commissions, and the book Waste is a Terrible Thing to Mind, Risk, Radiation, and Distrust of Government. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Weingart.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And, John, this latest scandal dogging New Jersey Governor Christie, first of all, it begins with the Fort Lee George Washington Bridge retribution, and then you have the $25 million misappropriation of Sandy funds for Christie's campaign ads, and then you have Christie's authorization of $24 million in taxpayer money for an unnecessary special election to fill the late Senator Lautenberg's seat to avoid a big Democratic turnout for Christie's own re-election. And then now you have the mayor of Hoboken saying that essentially FEMA money was held up in exchange for her agreement to approve a development for the Rockefeller Group. And she only got $142,000 of the $100 million in FEMA money that she asked for. And apparently Hoboken was 80% inundated by Sandy. So are those the brief facts so far?
Yeah, I think the numbers are a little different than what you said, but those are the stories that are swirling around and may or may not be connected.
So far, since the mayor of Hoboken went on MSNBC and made these charges, Dawn Zimmer, from what I've heard back from the Christie campaign, is basically sort of standard political operating procedure of blaming the messenger rather than addressing the message?
Well, I think, it's not at all unusual for a governor or members of his or her administration to advocate for approval of a particular development for reasons good or ill, either because they think it's going to be what the region needs or because of people involved with it, and to advocate to a state agency or a mayor or local agency to say this development should be approved or should get your attention or whatever. The charges by Mayor Zimmer are not just that happened, but that it was made a quid pro quo for getting the federal funds to, sufficient federal funds to deal with the impacts of Hurricane Sandy on Hoboken, which everybody agrees were huge. So that the charge that they were getting less of the federal funds than they needed or deserved because they were holding up a private development, that would be of great concern if that proves to be the case. It gets more intricate with the current controversies because one of the principal attorneys representing the developer is David Sampson, who is the chair of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, so that gets involved with the George Washington Bridge questions.
But according to the Star Ledger, the FEMA money, FEMA allocated $450 million to New Jersey, and that there was only $142,000 allocated for Hoboken, and this apparently is listed on the state's Sandy Recovery website.
Right. Yes. That's the case. I think the amount of federal funds New Jersey received to deal with Hurricane Sandy, while it was a huge amount of money, was not sufficient to deal with all the impacts of the hurricane. So the question is, or one of the questions is, were those funds given out on the basis of need, or were there other factors at play? And certainly what Mayor Zimmer is charging is that there were other factors at play that shouldn't have been part of the equation.
And in terms of what Mayor Zimmer said on MSNBC, she said that Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno and the Department of Community Affairs Commissioner Richard Constable pressured her to approve a development deal or face losing this federal aid from FEMA for recovery. And again, Hoboken was 80% of it was inundated by the hurricane. Richard Constable made this statement just before they're about to appear on stage at an event, and then she charges that the lieutenant governor talked to her in a parking lot about Hoboken's last underdeveloped patch of land, which is a 19-block area at the north end of town, that the administration wanted to approve a deal with the Rockefeller Group to develop this area, which she had been resisting. So those are the charges, right?
Yeah, and the charges is a little more worse than that, if it's true, that the 19-block area, which Hoboken is interested in redeveloping, the Rockefeller Group controls only, I believe, 4 blocks of that area. And it's those 4 blocks where the pressure from the Christie administration is alleged to have focused, not on the whole thing. So it looks more like it was not just about needed economic development, but it was about needed economic development that was going to benefit this one developer who was represented by the attorney who is involved with the Port Authority.
Apparently Mayor Zimmer recorded these events in her journal and then waited until now to go public. So what do you think her motives or her change of mind is? Does she think that the governor is now vulnerable, and so she's free to pile on, as opposed to...
That's a big question, because, I mean, she kept a journal, and she apparently wrote these things in her journal. A more appropriate response, I think, for a public official, even if they didn't want to go public, would have been to write a memo to the file or write a memo to their corporate municipal council or something. She didn't do that. On the other hand, she's a very new to the limelight, she's the mayor of a small town and has not been mayor that long. But why she would go public now, is not clear. The link with David Sampson may be the reason that she thought this was not worth mentioning in the past, but now that there's the question of the Port Authority and the director of the Port Authority, the chair of the Port Authority being the lawyer for this project, that made her feel that she should go forward. But that's a real question of why she went forward now, and her answers on MSNBC didn't really answer that question.
And again, I'm speaking with John Weingart, the Associate Director of the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University. Previously, he worked in New Jersey state government focusing on environmental and land use issues. But there's also Jersey City Mayor Fulop who's talking about retribution and Christie's administration canceling support and meetings. How much are those? Is that another smoking gun?
The evidence for that that's been public is the most compelling, so far. That it does seem that a number of high level officials in the Christie administrations had made appointments to meet with this new mayor of Jersey City, just elected this summer, and when the mayor announced that he was not endorsing Christie for re-election, all these meetings were canceled at roughly the same time. There's nothing illegal about that, and in some ways it's heavy-handed, but an administration can give more attention to and often does give more attention to local officials who are supportive in one way or another. But it is, as I say, heavy-handed. It certainly seems to have been coordinated. It wasn't that each commissioner on their own decided to that it was worth having a meeting with Jersey City, and suddenly it wasn't. It was timed around the endorsement of the governor for re-election. So I think what all these stories, they don't add up to this, but what they could add up to, and certainly if more stories come out, is a culture of a very powerful governor, a constitutionally powerful governor, whoever's the governor of Jersey is powerful, but an individual who's been incredibly skilled at using the office very creatively and in some ways very constructively, but also in a way that seems not to leave a lot of room for or makes it clear that if you disagree with the administration, there are prices to be paid.
And John Weingart, in her MSNBC interview, Mayor Dawn Zimmer of Hoboken, she said that she was stunned by when Richard Constable, the head of the Department of Community Affairs Commissioner, or the Commissioner of the Department of Community Affairs, pressured her to approve this development deal or face losing the federal disaster aid. She says she was stunned by his words and that he's a former federal prosecutor. And as far as I know, he has not come public, has he? Has not gone public with any the spokesperson for the commission, the Community Affairs Commission has, or the Department of Community Affairs has, but not him. Is that right?
Well, I think, I mean, the charges about Hoboken were just raised on Saturday morning on Steve Kornacki's show on MSNBC, but I think this morning's show, he had a written statement from Commissioner Constable saying this was not true, but I believe that was issued. But in any case, it is a brand new charge, brand new story.
And he, being a former federal prosecutor, as is the governor himself, were they colleagues?
Yes, but the Governor Christie has appointed many people who were in the prosecutor's office in one way or another, and many attorneys who were, I mean, in the U.S. Attorney's Office, and Constable is one of them.
So what's your sense then, John Weingart, of you know, there's more than one smoking gun. This story has not died. The governor's down in Florida fundraising, and of course, you know, there are effectively two campaign seasons for running for president. The first campaign season is the fundraising, and if that goes well, then you move on to the second one, which is the primary process. He's engaged in the first chapter of his quest for the White House. Is it going well?
It was going great until 2 weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago. It's possible. I mean, anything's possible. If Governor Christie is shown to have lied publicly, then I think his presidential hopes are over. But if there are these stories that portray people being heavy-handed, that portray people around the governor being heavy-handed, that would certainly be an issue in a presidential campaign about whether those are traits one wants in a president, whether that means he's a strong leader or it means he's a bully. But it wouldn't necessarily derail his campaign, and it could prove to his benefit in a Republican primary. And last week, Rush Limbaugh had words of praise for Christie for the first time, maybe ever, but certainly in many months. Early polls in New Hampshire showed that after the story broke, Christie was doing better among Republicans than he was doing before. So it's certainly Christie's big test. Often a presidential candidate, once they're seen as a front runner, faces some major test, and some of them weather that and come out maybe battered or maybe stronger, and some of them it ends their campaign, and this is still very much in progress. But I think part of it is that Christie was so invincible before this that he did not have his first term as governor. he didn't have a day when he was on the defensive. He was always in charge. He was, and this is giving him a kind of testing that, he hasn't had before.
Well, just in closing, you know, before when he was considered as a vice president, presidential possibility for Mitt Romney, there were leaks from the Romney camp saying that they had problems with him. I don't know whether that's coming back to haunt him. And frankly, since this bridge scandal was broken, the drip, drip, drip has continued. It hasn't abated.
I'm sorry, what has it
continued? The drip, drip, drip of scandal has it continued rather than abated.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think the Romney choice was connected. I think Christie does not have a personality that he or anyone else would think would lend him to being a good number two person in an organization. But the other stories certainly are getting a large amount of attention, obviously, from Pacifica and others, and it's all anyone is talking about or writing about in New Jersey.
Well, John Weingart, I thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure, Ian. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with John Weingart, the Associate Director of the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University, previously worked in New Jersey State Government focusing on environmental and land use issues, and he's the author of the study Another Government Success Story, Citizen Volunteers on New Jersey State Boards and Commissions, and the book Waste is a Terrible Thing to Mind, Risk, Radiation, and Distrust of Government. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back getting an analysis of President Obama's recent proposals to reform the NSA that have been greeted with an underwhelming response.